content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 26th through New Year's Day, Sunday, January 1st, 2023. The commentary for December was written by Sally Sisler, born and raised in West Virginia. After a long career in marketing and communication, she answered the call to ordained ministry and serves at a rural Episcopal church in southern Ohio. She and her husband, a retired judge and deacon, have two sons and four grandchildren. Now, the commentary for New Year's Day and the remainder of January was written by Ellis Liu, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. In her spare time, she enjoys keeping up with sitcoms, stress baking, and good coffee. The commentary for Monday, December 26th, begins as follows. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Here's the commentary. We first meet Stephen in the book of Acts, where he preaches to all, including the Gentiles, the good news of Christ. This preaching causes a crowd to rise up and bring him before the great council of the rulers. His fate is being stoned to death. The church of my youth called a new priest at the height of the Vietnam War, a time like now when the country was torn apart. The new guy preached a gospel of social justice, and while he wasn't stoned, members of the congregation dropped pennies instead of dollars into the brass collection basin. Those pennies might as well have been stones. Each clink sounded like death. Jesus wants to gather those who want to wound others under his wings like a mother hen. All too often we're so sure we're right, we'd rather sit out in the cold. Now I'm going to read from the full passage of the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 8 through chapter 7, verses 2a, and also verses 51 and 60, and this is the story of the arrest of Stephen. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedman, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia stood up and argued with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 26th, is, what do you know about St. Stephen, the first martyr of the Church? And what lessons can you learn from his life and his death? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, December 27th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 20 to 21. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Today, December 27th, we commemorate John the Apostle, supposedly the one whom Jesus loved most. That Jesus turns the care of his mother over to John at the time of his death speaks volumes about their relationship. Family dynamics is part of seminary training, and clearly those dynamics are at work on the eve of the crucifixion. If Peter had really understood how the night would end, would he be worried about his position among the disciples? As a teenager, I remember trying to reposition myself among friends to be better liked. Later, as a woman climbing the corporate ladder, I wasn't shy about putting my best foot forward. John isn't trying to be Jesus' best friend. He's a follower. We remember him today because he understood his nearness to Jesus and was comfortable being in his shadow. And now I'm going to read the full passage here. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that this testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And the forward movement question for this day is, are we willing to believe we are loved enough to follow and not try to lead? Now the commentary for Wednesday, December 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 16a. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. Today we remember the infants and small children who were murdered by Herod and his soldiers. When we hear this horrific story, we take comfort, believing that it happened in another time long ago. But there are many ways to kill our children. A petty ruler can issue a horrific order, but we also watch our children wither and die when we are indifferent to issues of poverty. When I live in rural Appalachia, children suffer as a result of poverty and its surrounding issues. There are few jobs, but lots of substance abuse. Parents are in jail or in treatment, leaving their children in the care of grandparents or friends or a foster system. The children come to school hungry and often are inappropriately dressed for the weather. No coats in the winter, for instance. When we ignore the systems that perpetuate cycles of poverty, we leave the most vulnerable among us to fend for themselves. We are not Herod, but we walk in his footsteps when we fail to create communities that heal instead of hurt. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for this day from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men, fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. And the moving forward question for this day, the feast day of the Holy Innocents, how can you care for children in your community? And now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, December 29th. We begin with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 43 and 44. So there was a division in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. In this passage from the Gospel of John, we see the people of Jerusalem at odds with one another about the true nature of Jesus. Is he prophet or Messiah? Or a nobody from Galilee masquerading as the one to come? These folks know Scripture, which foretells that the Messiah is to come from David's hometown of Bethlehem. Believing that Jesus is from Jerusalem gives doubters a justification by Scripture to reject Jesus as an itinerant impostor. People have always used Scripture to defend their particular causes, even when the cause is biased, judgmental, and unwelcoming. Quoting Scripture to defend a cause often means dialogue is over. That's why it is vital for us to study Scripture together and talk with one another. We must adjust the reading glasses of our hearts so Scripture is a tool for inclusion and hope, not a weapon to wound. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of John chapter 7, verses 37 to 52. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some in the crowd said, "This is really the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some asked, "Surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So there was a division in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the temple police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, "Why did you not arrest him?" The police answered, "Never has anyone spoken like this." Then the Pharisees replied, "Surely you have not been deceived too, have you? Has any one of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and who was one of them, asked, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it?" They replied, "Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search, and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, if you're not already in a Bible study group, look for one to join this week. Now the commentary for Friday, December 30th. It begins with a passage from John chapter 8, verses 4 to 6a. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the new law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. How weary Jesus must have been having to prove himself over and over to those who should have known better. I think about my early working days and how I often felt I had to prove myself to my male counterparts and authority figures. Women at that time were to become wives and mothers. Having a job was questionable. Wanting a career wasn't to be considered. Jesus wanted nothing for himself. His mission was clear from his first sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth. Heal the sick, bring sight to the blind, set captives free, and proclaim the year of God's favor. The religious leaders wanted to keep themselves safe by following the rules, while Jesus was following God's agenda for redemption. Jesus turns his accusers away and advises the adulterous woman to sin no more. Jesus sets one more person free from judgment and pain. And now the full gospel passage, John chapter 7, verses 53 through 8, verse 11. Then each of them went home, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, sir. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. And the moving forward question for this day is, do you find it easier to follow the rules than to engage in kingdom work? Now the commentary for Saturday, December 31st, the last day of 2022. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I love thinking of Jesus as the light of the world. One of my favorite hymns is, I want to walk as a child of the light. But to think that I am called to walk in light, not darkness, means I have some responsibility to stay on the lighted path. Praying daily, finding some time to meditate, reading Scripture regularly, attending worship, and partaking in Eucharist keeps the light of Christ bright. When the path seems dark, I know I need to search for the source of light in the company of others. When others share that their path is darkened, I usually suggest spending time with a trusted friend or even a therapist. These people can hold the light for us when we can't see the way. Jesus is the light of the world, but we have to plug ourselves into the power source if we want to shine with his glory. And now I'll read the full chapter verse here from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 19. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from. And where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge by no one. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf. And the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, December 31st, what connects you to the light of Christ? And finally, for this week, the commentary for New Year's Day, Sunday, January 1st. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21b. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Often our first word is some variation on mother or father. My first word was Baba, or father in Chinese. Over the years, I have called my parents other words in other languages. By now, I also have different names or ways of being addressed, depending on relation or how long someone has known me. But there is something about being called by my name by someone who loves me that lets me know that I am seen. Today, Christians celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name. This is the day that the Christ child was formally given the name Jesus. I love Mary in St. Luke's Gospel. She ponders and treasures everything in her heart. I imagine Mary often revisited the message of the angel Gabriel, that the Holy Name gave Mary comfort during her pregnancy. I imagine her inviting us today to take solace in the name of Jesus, to meditate and pray on the Holy Name with our lives. Who is the Jesus whom you call by name? And I'll read from the full passage of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, January 1st, write out the different names you use for Jesus. Try using them in your prayers this week. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world, knowing that you are hearing us as much better than we are speaking. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. I hope you've enjoyed the program during this year, the last half of 2022, since we've started this special program of Reflections. I've enjoyed so much doing it for you, and I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of everyone here at the North Carolina Reading Service to wish you a very happy, prosperous, and a very, very holy New Year. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week in the new year of 2023 from Forward Day by Day. It's a publication of forwardmovement.org. Thank you again for joining me, and goodbye until next time.